Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's personal finance podcast where we discuss all things money. Arbitrage funds received rupees 59,000 crore net inflows in 2023, which is highest among all the fund categories. These funds allocate minimum 65% of their assets in equity and equity-related instruments through spot future arbitrage. Put simply, these funds buy a stock in the cash market and simultaneously sell it in the futures market at a higher price to generate returns from the difference in the price of the security in the two markets. In terms of returns, the category average of arbitrage funds stands at around 7.19% on a one-year basis. So what arbitrage funds are and what fueled inflows into these funds in 2023? Do these funds make sense this year and will they continue to deliver good returns? Money Control talks to Kirtan Shah, founder of Credence Wealth Advisors, for answers. Let's listen in.
Thank you, Kirtan. Welcome to Simply Say Podcast.
Hi, Abhinav. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
So can we begin with what arbitrage funds are and how they work?
So Abhinav, arbitrage as a category is a category in which you can expect volatility and returns like a debt fund, but taxation of equity. So hypothetically assume that HDFC Bank is trading at 1,000 rupees and HDFC Bank's futures is trading at 104 rupees. And that's how it typically works, that the futures most of the times are trading at a premium to the cash market price. So what this fund is expected to do is that now that they see that there is a gap between what the cash price is at 1,000 and futures is at 1,004, say they buy shares in the cash market at 1,000 and they sell the futures at 1,004 and thereby locking in a profit of 4 rupees, because at the end of the month, on the last day of the expiry, irrespective of wherever the price is, the futures price is expected to close same as the cash price. So let's say, for example, on the last day of expiry, HDFC Bank closes at 2,000 rupees. What ideally happens is on your cash market, you've made 1,000 because you bought it at 1,000 and sold it at 2,000. And on the futures, you've lost 996 because you sold it at 1,004 and you bought it back at 2,000. You will still gain a net of 4 rupees. And that can happen the other way also. Let's say HDFC Bank closes at 500 rupees. So you will lose 500 rupees on your cash position because you bought it at 1,000 and sold it at 500. But you will make 504 rupees on your futures position because you sold it at 1,004 and bought it back at 500. So irrespective of wherever the price is expected to move up or down, once you've locked that 4 rupees of difference between cash and futures, you will mostly be able to make that. All you have to do is carry the position till the expiry. So that's what arbitrage funds do. And hence the volatility is extremely low. But because this is equities, right, you are buying in the cash market, selling options, which is why you get equity taxation. So if you hold on to this fund for less than a year, you pay 15% tax on your capital gains. And if you hold it for more than a year, you pay 10% tax on the capital gains.
Arbitrage funds received rupees 59,000 crore net inflows in 2023, which is highest among all the fund categories. So what fueled this demand?
Abhinav, so there are two, three things that we have to look at. First, of course, is largely the texture of the market. I'm sure you and I both will agree that 2023, we've had so many investors standing on the sideline expecting the markets to fall. And hence, the confidence that the markets will go up so significantly was not there. And hence, a lot of investors, instead of taking a dive directly into investing in equities as lump sum, were waiting for opportunities where the market could fall and they could come back, which never happened. And hence, I assume that a lot of money was parked in funds like arbitrage funds, where there is not a lot of volatility. And if at all market falls what people were expecting, then they will use this money to buy equities out. I think that's one reason. Another reason, very importantly, from a very particular standpoint, is that, you know, whenever interest rates are high, right, you will typically see that the spread between cash and futures is high. Like, say, for example, if interest rates are 5%, This is just hypothetical in nature to explain the concept. Let's say if interest rates are 5% in the market, then you will see that the spread between cash and futures is 0.5. But if interest rates are 7, you will see that the spread between cash and future is 0.7. So whenever interest rates are high, the spread between cash and futures is generally higher, and that's the time where arbitrage funds do better than it normally does. And then that can be another reason why a lot of sophisticated money, instead of wanting to stay on the liquid fund side, also stayed on arbitrage, because not only do they get that equity advantage versus liquid funds where they have to pay slab rates and here they have to pay equity, but also because spreads were slightly higher, they were expecting better returns.
So what are the risks involved while investing in arbitrage funds?
Look, 95%, I don't really see that these funds are extremely volatile. They generally are not. But of course, there can be a situation where the market typically moves in backwardation. What is backwardation is, there are situations because of which, let's say you bought cash at 1,000 and you sold futures at 104. But there can be situations where temporarily, before the expiry, the future starts trading at a discount to the cash market price, which means that when you locked in the arbitrage at 1,000 and sold the futures at 1,004, you were expecting to lock this 4 rupees. But before the expiry, there can be a situation where the spread, which is positive 4 rupees, can become negative 2 rupees, 3 rupees, 4 rupees for various reasons. So if you get out of those funds before the expiry, there can be volatility. But on expiry, you will always make the 4 rupees that you are expected to. So that's one. Second, important is that there are situations where the fund manager may not get the spread that the fund manager is looking at. So typically, let's say the fund manager is able to make roughly 0.5% a month types of spread. There are situations where there are only 0.2, 0.3% available, and hence your return may get compromised, because if the spread is only 0.2, 0.3, they cannot make more than that. So I think these are the two things to take care of. But in arbitrage fund, once you've locked the profit and you hold on to maturity, I don't see a reason why there should be volatility. Volatility will definitely be there before the maturity, because like I explained, it can move from premium to discount for various reasons. And because the fund is mark to marketed every day, there may be some volatility, but not at expiry, Abhinav.
What kind of returns can be expected from arbitrage funds? And what is the time horizon for investing in these funds?
So Abhinav, I always keep telling investors that you need to have at least more than a quarter, up to 2 quarters of investment horizon if you really want to do arbitrage funds. So while they are a clear replacement for liquid, you can also invest in liquid for weekends or 10 days or 12 days. I would not really advise you to do that in an arbitrage fund. So typically you do at least 3 months to 6 months of investment horizon if you are doing arbitrage funds. The kind of returns that you can expect will also depend on the interest rates in the market. If interest rates are higher, you can expect pre-tax around 6% types. If interest rates are lower, you can expect around 5, 5.5. But the larger advantage is that you get equity taxation, which is much better than parking your money in overnight or liquid. And that's the reason why sophisticated investors prefer arbitrage funds over liquid or overnight.
So when it comes to budget 2023, last year budget, one of the key changes when it comes to mutual fund industry was the death taxation change. So did that debt taxation change help arbitrage funds in any way?
Very honestly, arbitrage funds would really have not got affected by what happened in the debt side. Largely, I'm assuming so, because if you do an apple to apple comparison, somebody who's intending to invest for a 3 or 5 year in a fixed income product was always investing in short term, medium term, credit or long term kind of debt funds. Arbitrage funds, from an apple to apple comparison to the fixed income, is from, let's say, somebody who was looking at investing in overnight funds or liquid funds or ultra short term or low duration. Those kind of people would have actually come to invest or would consider investing in arbitrage versus doing these lower end of the curve products that I spoke to you of. And that money is typically never for more than 3 years in general sense from an allocation standpoint. So those guys were never getting indexation advantage. So I don't really think that because the debt indexation was pulled off and hence a lot of money came to arbitrage. In fact, I think the debt indexation was pulled off and hence AMCs very smartly came up with a lot of multi-asset products where they used arbitrage to, you know, kind of still give equity taxation to investors, and that is where the money has flown. If at all debt indexation has impacted something positively, that's multi-asset funds. I don't think arbitrage funds are the real beneficiary.
So it is said that if more players, more funds come into arbitrage funds, then the extent of arbitrage opportunity shrinks or goes out. So given the inflows over the past 1 year, do you think these funds still make sense, or the opportunity there is limited now?
Yeah, so Abhinav, this typically happens. I mean, if you see, since the time algorithmic trading and all became prevalent in India, we've seen how these spreads have come down drastically. So more and more players, more and more sophisticated ways of doing arbitrage, and more liquidity chasing the spread will definitely reduce the spreads available. And now at this point in time, while you know that rates have probably topped out and rates are supposed to fall, like I explained earlier as well, when rates will come down, the spread between cash and futures will come down. And hence, I would suggest that investors should actually have a slightly lower expectation than what arbitrage funds have actually made over the last 12-18 months. And also, because interest rates have topped out and are falling, a lot of sophisticated money might now start chasing medium duration and long duration funds on the fixed income side. And hence, I think those look like a better opportunity versus doing arbitrage funds right now.
So what kind of investors should go for arbitrage funds? Can retail investors invest in them?
We have to keep in mind two things. First, arbitrage fund is for liquidity, right? So you don't really put any other allocation, but the liquid part of your portfolio that you want to put here is what you put here in arbitrage funds. One. Second, I think retail investors in the 30% tax bracket should definitely consider parking their liquid portfolio in arbitrage funds, because they get equity taxation, like I've been explaining, versus slab rates on liquid funds. So these are the two set of investors: one who want to park their emergency corpus, and second who are in 30% bracket and higher should definitely consider arbitrage funds for their liquidity or emergency corpus versus an overnight or a liquid fund.
So what are the factors that investors should look at before investing or putting money in arbitrage funds?
So I think you don't really want to be in a fund which is with a very high AUM, because probably a very high AUM arbitrage fund will really not be able to monetize the opportunity as much as probably a medium AUM fund will be able to. So that is one very important criteria to look at. Other criteria are slightly technical for a lot of us to really be able to understand, but I think AUM was a very important criteria in the arbitrage fund. I would rather want to stay with funds which have medium AUM and not a very high AUM. And how do you define high or medium is you look at 5-10 funds in the same category, and you would know that there are some funds with few thousands of crores, and then there are some funds with few lesser thousand crores, and you would gauge ideally what is a medium AUM, what's a high AUM. The medium your AUM in these funds, you probably might be able to do better. But look, the difference between good and bad in arbitrage fund is not going to be huge. And ideally, you are not really investing for anything else but liquidity and emergency, right? So there is not a lot of dipstick that you really want to do to be able to decide where do you really want to park your money. All you want to do is park it in a good name so that you have liquidity available, you know. So I think this is very different from selecting funds from a long-term bet where where we are really looking at parking a large part of our portfolio, which is a core portfolio. Because this is liquid, I think returns probably should not matter that much, Abhinav.
Okay, so the returns are not dependent on the fund manager or the fund house.
Of course they are, but ideally what I'm trying to say is that as in when the AUM of the fund increases, it becomes difficult for them to be able to capture the same kind of spread that they were able to do earlier because the AUM size is very high. And hence, very high AUM in these funds may be counterproductive is what I'm saying.
Thank you for talking to us.
With that, it's a wrap on this edition of Simply Save. For more news, views and updates, do stay locked on to moneycontrol.com.